Fame and Fortune by Frederick Raphael. Episode 1.
On Election Day, May 1979, Adam Morris walked from his house in Tregunter Road to John Sandoz's bookshop in Chelsea to collect a book he had ordered about the Jesuits in Paraguay. And also, as if it were not at all his purpose, to make sure that copies of his own latest novel, The Vulture's Portion, were prominently displayed in the window. In the improbable hope of seeing someone actually buy a copy of his book, and perhaps even wanting to have it autographed, Adam loitered among the tight shelves.
Good morning, John.
Morning, Francesca.
Have you got this novel called The Vulture's Potion, by any chance?
Vulture's Portion? Yes, we do, over there. We also happen to have the author.
Over here, but he can easily remain invisible, if not immortal or wise. Please don't feel obliged.
You haven't changed, I see.
Have I not? From what?
When you were younger.
And I'm equally sure you haven't.
But I have. In many ways. However, I still wish you were dead.
However, do you? You seem to have taken against my novel with remarkable celerity.
Still using long words when short ones would do.
Am I to assume from the rare charm of your tone that we've met before?
What I really wish is that you were dying.
I'm trying to remember. I've heard those high heel vowel sounds before. Or is this your usual tactic when picking up astray authors? If so, excuse me.
What the hell is the matter with you?
That novel of yours.
That novel? Which one was that?
As if you didn't know. An Early Life.
It was 5 years ago. What was wrong with it?
The way you wrote about Donald. What's wrong is a world in which shits like you get away with writing books, and people like Donald die.
Francesca. Of course, Francesca. Got it. You're Donald Davidson's pretty, vicious little sister, the one with the horse. Nelson, wasn't it?
You put us all in a book. Talk about vicious.
I was doing my modest best to remember Don as he was when we were all young and...
You think you have the right to use people and make money out of them?
Money had nothing to do with it.
Kingsley Amis.
I waited more than 20 years and I thought Donald deserved to be remembered.
So you dug him up and made a book out of him.
Come here, come here. I don't think that's what's upset you. If upset is what you are. I think it's what I remember about you. And you know I do. Calling me Jew in that charming way you did when we were looking for a tennis ball which you hit into the long grass.
Weren't you what? A Jew? Aren't you now? I can still see the look on your face. Fancy you remembering Nelson. It doesn't upset me in the least.
Donald died. I didn't kill him. You could always have a word with your merciful God and see if he knows who killed him, or millions of others.
Adam! What are you doing here? I've been calling your agent for a week. What are you doing at the moment?
It's fairly obvious. I'm having a conversation with you.
Of course. How do you do? Adam, do you have a few minutes, possibly? We have a coffee around the corner.
What do you think?
Bruno Laszlo, the producer of The Woman in Question, for which Adam had won an Oscar over 10 years before, was wearing a blue silk suit and a pink shirt with the top button undone under a narrow blue woolen tie. He looked at Francesca and then at Adam.
Ah, I understand, but I have this, I have to say, very important project I want to talk to you about in many ways. Right up your avenue.
All right, I'll call you.
I interrupt you.
It is your habit.
I need a book. This novel, I don't remember the title or the author.
You haven't changed, have you?
Yes, I have. No, I haven't. Isn't that true of all of us?
You're still glorying in it.
In what am I?
You lived and Don didn't.
I'm a writer. All I've done is my possibly unworthy best to immortalize Donald by writing about someone or write very like him. It's the only resurrection I can supply.
You got your own back. On all.